I want to talk to you about prayer just quickly, but effective prayer. Amen. Say with me, effective prayer. Do you know how much God loves it when His people are praying, when His church is a praying church? And what I've seen around the world, one thing that the enemy steals is people's prayer, because prayer is your greatest weapon. A man that prays is a man that's protected. Say with me, a man that prays is a man that's protected. And this is what the church needs to understand. You can never go into a battle, into a war, without a weapon. You cannot live the spirit life, or the life of the spirit, without praying. You need to pray. You need to pray. In actual fact, can I prophesy something in this place tonight? That we're living in times where things is going to get hard. You hear me right now. There's some people in the background that's still undercover. I call them FBI agents. But is it in a good way? Why do I say this? Because the Lord is raising up an army of young generals that's going to come to the forefront and will usher the new move of God to the king, or to the kingdom of God. So, and it will be not just be in one specific, it's going to be in places which is open for the working of the Holy Spirit. Am I speaking to somebody? And what's going to happen is we are going through seasons right now, and you will see the effect thereof, where times will become more tougher, more harder, but not for the church, not for the praying church. The praying church will always be a step ahead of the rest of the world. Come, if you believe it, say amen. Amen. Come on, the hard times will not come to a family that prays together. The hard times will not come to a church who says, we're going to give up our time. We're going to give ourselves constantly to pray. Am I speaking to somebody? Prayer makes you so sensitive in the spirit. Prayer protects you from things to come. Prayer keeps you sharp. Prayer, prayer, prayer. We need to pray. And especially with what's happening around the world right now, we need to pray. And the Bible says, the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Say with me, effective prayer. Is there a way to pray effectively? Absolutely. And I want to direct your attention quickly to this verse. Jesus says in the book of Mark 11 and verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Is this as simple as that? This is what Jesus says. He says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that it's already done. Tina said something to me before the meeting started, and I haven't even noticed. We were in Witbank, and I was praying for a guy. The Lord gave me a word of knowledge that this is a person that uses hearing aids. And I saw this clearly, and people came out. It was a woman that was born deaf in the left ear. And there is this guy with hearing aids, and he says to me that he's deaf in both ears, so without the hearing aids, he can't hear. And I was praying for him, and his eyes were closed, and I said to Kevin, bring me the microphone. Put the mic in front of his mouth. I didn't ask him. I was, in fact, walking around him to test it, because I already knew it's done. I didn't even know it. Tina said to me, did you see that? And I said, well, that's the gift of faith. It's an understanding that it's already done. Whatever I ask my Father, if I believe, it is done. Amen, come on. And when I said, thank you, Jesus, he started smiling. And his ears popped open. Come on, and it was healed completely by the power of God. And why do I say this? Because whatever you ask, you can never come in prayer wondering if God's going to do it. You have to make up your mind whether he's able to do it. And there's nothing impossible for our God. Say with me, there's nothing impossible. Come on, one more time, there's nothing impossible. Who really believes what you're saying now? Who really truly believes that if I ask, whatsoever I ask, if I believe it, it shall be done? Even Jesus, think about what Jesus said. He said, anything that you ask in my name, I will do for you. Do you know why he says that? He's saying this because what he's actually saying, if you believe that I'm able, that I'm willing, that I'm in control, I'll give it to you. Just imagine this. You've got a Father in heaven who loves you so much that is more interested in giving than in you asking.
Yeah, amen.
Have you ever think about this? Who likes to see their children suffer? If you're a mom or a dad, who likes to see their children's got nothing or they lack? No man, no woman. And the Bible says, he says that we, who's bad? We are bad. He says, you bad people. If you know when your child asks you for a bread, not to give him a rock, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is good, give if you ask him? There's one thing that I need to get you here. I need to get here. All right, put your hand on your head. I said, Lord, renew my mind. Now hear me. God is only good. He's a good father. Say with me, he's a good father. He's so good. Catherine Kuhlman said something. She said, and I from my own version, all right. She said that she was, her dad asked her one day, Do you remember the times that you were hanging around my neck asking me for a nickel? And he said that if I had more, I'll give you the world. And something opened up for her, and she said, now she understands this is how her Heavenly Father feels about her. But you see, it says the fervent prayer of the righteous, and it says the effective fervent prayer of the righteous. How do I pray effectively? When I pray in faith. When I come before the Lord in faith, it's one thing that God knows and understands is the language of faith. When I come before the Lord with boldness in my heart, he says, when you approach the throne of grace, you have to approach how? How do you approach? You approach with boldness. Boldness, not timidly. Your children doesn't go to your house and they feel like a stepchild. Yes, is he drag here? How do you go in your mother's house? You walk in. Mikasa isu kasa. Come on, you take what you want because it's your mom's house. We have to approach the throne of God with boldness. The Lord will never give until you have understand one thing, that He wants to bless you out of your socks. He wants to take care of you. He's a father that wants to clothe you. He's a father that wants to feed you. In actual fact, He's calling people to hang around His neck. And say, oh, Daddy, I know you're able. He says, whatsoever you shall ask, believing that you receive it, it's done. In other words, when you go before the Lord and you start to pray, you have to understand in your spirit, man, it's done. This is why when we're praying for the deaf, you can't pray for the deaf wondering, I wonder if it's going to happen. No, it's time to understand His word cannot fail. Look at what the book of James says. James 5 and verse 16. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Have you ever noticed that he was a man of the same spirit? With the same spirit, but he prayed fervently. How do you pray fervently? The Bible, there's a scripture where Jesus gave this comparison. He said, if you, and listen, I'm quoting now. If you think about what I'm saying, you lay in bed in the middle of the night, your kids is asleep, you've got a horrible twin. Okay? Horrible twins. And they just went to bed 3 o'clock in the morning. You don't want any sound. You don't want a dog to bark, you don't want a cat to meow, because you don't want the twins to wake up. Now there's a knock on your door. Bang, bang, bang. And you hear a guy screaming, or your friend comes to your house and he's asking you for bread. You are not going to wake up or just go just because, this is what the Bible says. You're not just going to wake up just because he needs bread. No, you're going to wake up, go to the door and just give him what he needs, because you don't want the banging on the door. It's in the middle of the night. Now, to pray fervently, it means nonstop. It means I go before the Father. And I keep knocking, I keep knocking, I keep knocking. I don't leave, not until I receive the bread. Come on, not until I've received the oil. Not until God has touched me. Come on, help me out if somebody hears me. And this is how the Lord wants His children to pray. To pray fervently. Look me straight in the eyes. I want to help you understand one thing. When you pray, do you know what you do? By praying, praying and worshiping is vitally. Vital important, because what happens now is when you start to pray, the devil, especially when you pray in the spirit, he gets confused. I said he gets confused because it sounds like warfare going on, and he does not know where to stop, where to. Now you start to pray, and the more you pray in the spirit, you stir yourself up. and people pray together and they pray together. And I'm talking about corporate praying now, amen? And especially even when you go home and you pray tonight in your bedroom, and then you pray. Do you know what you do? You create a culture of people, first of all, that knows how to pray. And then you start to worship the Lord fervently. Your prayers can be worshipped. Do you know that? If I start to pray, oh Father, you beautiful. Holy is your name. That's part of your worship. Maybe you in this side understands what I'm saying. You make him big. You tell him how glorious he is, how marvelous he is. Then you create a throne for God to dwell in. He dwells among the praises of his people. He's not a father that just sits in heaven. And I want to, yeah, people need to hear this. He sits on his throne. And when people start to pray and people start to worship out of their hearts, you know what happens? The Father doesn't come from his throne and walk on planet earth. No, heaven invades earth. Suddenly you are in the courts of glory. This is what happens here week after week. Heaven comes down because we're praying effectively. We pray fervently, nonstop, knowing that whatsoever you ask him, it shall be done if you believe. Remember when the Bible says, a double-minded man will receive nothing? Who knows that scripture? And many people pray double-mindedly. They go into prayer, and then they ask, and when they say amen, they wonder if God can do it. The Bible says such a man or such a woman mustn't even think that they will receive anything from God. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Remember I said, the only way to pray in a way that you know, that you know, that you know, there's no doubt, absolutely no doubt, is by spending time in the presence of God. It's by creating fruit. The more time you spend with the Lord, the more fruit is being produced. But I need to get people's attention to the following, because I've seen it around the world. People don't like to pray. Remember, I always say that it's not a quick fix. Come on, it's not a quick fix. And we've got a generation rising up who God's going to use powerfully. We've also got a generation that they, do you know what they do? There's like bar crawling. They call it bar crawling from the one bar to the next. They do it with churches. Church crawling from one church to the next and the next and the next. And it's like, do you know what they call? They call them vampire Christians. They suck everything they got and then they move on. Or maybe you on this side. And do you know what? They never rooted. They never grounded. Even their prayer life become double-minded. And this is so important. Because what I've seen is people, they've got 10 different teachers. The one guy came to me the other day, he said, this is pretty important. I said, absolutely. He said, well, I've got a couple of guys that I submit under. And the one guy said, no more praying, you're under grace. And the next one saying, no, you have to pray when you feel like it. And the third guy said, you pray like this. And I, what do I do? Paul says to Timothy, he says, you have to stay in what you believe. Because you know the Holy Scriptures from a very young age. And you know where you have been taught from. This is why it's important to be single-minded. Come on, not double-minded. You cannot put your mind on so many things and think that God's going to move in your life. Come on, is there a generation that can wake up and say, Lord, we're going to be warriors, prayer warriors. We're going to pray until heaven responds. We're not just going to run off to the next good thing. But we're going to submit under the power of God Almighty. This is what we're going to do. Amen. And then your prayer life starts to change. If somebody carries the glory of God, do you know how somebody carries the glory of God? It becomes like an infection. All of a sudden, you want it. It's like itch. Suddenly your hands in the air. And you know what I'm talking about? You see, jy sien hier ookie voor jou. Ja, hy gaat in 'n prys. So hulle sê, hey Jabula. Amen? And then suddenly you can't stop your feet. Your feet just goes into a dance. Wat gebeur hier? This is what the glory does. This is what the man of prayer does. I want to give you a quick example. I was devil the one night, one of the ushers, he was at my house. And every single weekend he drives from Rustenburg in his family to be here. Every single Sunday. And the one night they needed to stay over somewhere, and we said stay at our house. But what I did was, I said to him, do you want to see and experience the power of God? And he said, absolutely. I said, I'm going to show you how I pray. And I didn't know if he was ready for what is about to happen. Because the way I pray and the way some people pray is different. Amen. Because I've got my own relationship with the Lord. So I got into my prayer room. And he sat there and he said to me, she said, I want to come here more. I said, why? He says, because the Lord is here. And I said to him, well, everybody's going to bed. And I said, I need to pray. So I switched off the lights. And I said, Father. And when I said, Father, suddenly he was there. Suddenly it was not just me and Dierwald, but the third person appeared. Suddenly. And I could see and I could hear in his prayer, he's struggling. He's struggling while I'm already in the third heaven. I'm already in the presence of God Almighty. After spending at least 40 minutes in the presence, I heard this dear Lord. He's in the presence of the Lord. Now he's crying. And eventually I switch on the lights and he's asking me a question. And while he's asking, he's crying. They can't speak. He's just crying. And I said this for a reason. And he asked me, he said, tell me something. How is it so quick and easy for you to get into the presence of the Lord? And I said to him, you have to practice the presence. Think about if you go to a gym, you pick up the weights, all right? You do weights. Muscles doesn't grow when you lift up the weights. Muscles grow when there's a tear in your muscle, when there's a burning sensation. Who knows what I'm talking about? Come on, where's the gym is at? There's a burn. And most people stop when it burns, but that's good. When it burns, it means there's muscle growth. But tomorrow, you have to go back to the gym. You have to do it again. And then after a while of being in this cycle, what happens? Your muscle starts to grow. This happens exactly with the same thing with prayer. You have to practice the presence of the Lord. If people just understand this, I've seen people pray. Here is the miracle. And they would do what they do. They turn around. And they say, shoot, yeah, I've tried, Lord. I've tried my best. You know, your best is only when you break through. It's time when we get our flesh under submission. And I'm not talking about taking this and make this a law. I'm telling you, this helped me. If you understand this, when you pray fervently, effectively, you don't get up. Not until heaven has invaded your space. Because when heaven comes down, you know, that's the dimension that there's nothing impossible. Have you ever been in that place where you heard God all audibly saying to you, whatever you ask me now, I shall do for you. Come on, that you know. That if I ask Him now, it's going to happen. My God, I feel the power of God in this place. We need people that will pray until heaven comes down. The Lord wants you to bang on heaven's doors until He answers you. And do you know what? That's a sign of desperation. No man receives a fresh anointing, fresh power without being desperate. You have to be desperate. You cannot put a deposit or you cannot take a withdrawal if there's no deposit. So people of God, I need to get your attention. I need to get something in your mind. Pray until heaven responds. And tomorrow when you do it again, it gets easier. Have you ever go to a gym? If I go to a gym now, Sunday morning, I won't be able to lift my Bible. Everything feels so heavy. But suddenly, after say a month of being in that cycle, suddenly you can handle it. Now it's not just 100 kgs. Yeah, 200. Bring it on, brother. It happens with prayer. It doesn't become difficult. It becomes easier. Easier. You get to that place where you don't have to say, I'm going to be out for 6 hours. Do you know what you do? Father. And He's there. If a man of faith speaks, heaven is on attention. Jesus says, behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm talking to people that knows how to pray in faith. If you bind it on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. Come on, if you loose it on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. That's the authority that He's giving people that is not, I'm not here to turn around. I'm here to bang on heaven's doors. Worship, it's the same thing with worship. Worship, and this is what I like about Paul and Silas. The Bible says Paul and Silas were locked in prison, and at midnight they were singing hymns, worshiping the Lord. At midnight an earthquake came. And the Bible says, suddenly the prison doors opened up. They weren't confound to the space. They knew what God can do. My goodness, I feel that anointing tonight. So they were worshiping the Lord nonstop, persevering. And suddenly, come on, say with me, suddenly. Suddenly they were entering into the presence of the Lord. When you enter the presence of the Lord, prison doors opens up. Shackles falls. This is every single week. The Lord spoke to me. When the Lord called me into ministry, one of the things the Lord spoke to me about is make Jesus real, more real than yourself. Make Jesus more real in your meetings than yourself. Amen. Come on, make Him more real. Make Him more real. So I drive people nuts. Lift your hands and lift the hands. And then they go and lift your hands again. Why do I do that? I said this morning, it's to make Jesus more real. Because you know what happens? Have you ever prayed? Come on, praying position, all right? Praying position. Have you ever prayed? And then your mind wanders. It's not okay, not in this church. Who knows what I'm talking about? You pray and then your mind wanders. And yeah, sorry, Lord, sorry. I hate it because I'm a sweet tooth. Okay? I love my sweets. I love my sweets. And it's so tempting when I pray, it's sweets. Trust me. Have I seen cake in the I'm sure there's cake. Basically, come on, I rebuke yourself. And sorry, Lord, sorry. Lord, you know I love you, Lord. I'm so sorry. And then I pray. Sure, sugar will be nice. I promise you. My eating pattern is bad. I eat late at night. And then rusks. Oma biscuit. Oma. Then this body wants Oma biscuit. And then I want a biscuit. I say, come on, Vessel. So what happens is your mind. But that's not effective praying. So what I do is, I keep on rebuking myself. I keep on crucifying the flesh. Until Oma biscuit doesn't even come here. Or by oomblik bestaan dan nie ding soos ouma beskeid. The only sweet thing I want is the sweet presence of Jesus Christ. When you get in that presence, the only sweet thing you want is the sweet presence. Amen? But I had to teach myself not to stop. Not to stop. Not until the Lord has answered. If you think about the book of Matthew, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, I want you to look at this. Matthew chapter 6. He says in Matthew 6 in verse 25, he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father, not their heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, say with me, my Heavenly Father, feeds them. Are you not worth more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? This guy doesn't worry. Look how short I am. Imagine you can add a centimeter every time you worry. I'll be taller than Tinas. Okay, but there's no praise the Lord. He says, so why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And Jesus says this in the book of Matthew. He says in this manner, you have to pray, our Father in heaven. Remember when Jesus said, there will come a time that you will ask me nothing, but whatever you ask my Father, it shall be given unto you. The Father is more willing to give than what you are asking Him. In fact, I want to say this with love. If you don't want to ask God, it's an insult. It's an insult to His abilities. Help me out. If you think I can't ask the Lord, it's an insult to Him. He's a father. I hate it when my children go anywhere else to ask for help. I'm the one that wants to help and provide. This is how your Heavenly Father feels about you. He wants you. Come on, He wants you. He wants you to ask Him, Lord, help me. So He says, when you go, you have to pray. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I do this when I start to pray. When I pray, I always make His name big, because there's nothing small about Him. So I always approach my Father, because the Bible says, whatever you ask the Father in His name, it shall be done. Come on, whatever you ask the Father, not certain things, whatever you ask the Father in faith, it shall be done. Come on, it shall be done. So He says, when you pray, pray in this manner, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. That means you praise Him. You worship Him. Many people start off by asking, Lord, I need this, I need this, I need that. No ways. He wants you to enter His courts with thanksgiving in your heart. Come on, He wants you to enter His gates with praise. He wants you to magnify the King of glory. You tell Him how marvelous, how great, how awesome. That's what worship is about. Worship is not singing songs. Worship is glorifying the King of heaven. And this, I want to say this, God loves worship. So when you worship Him, He wants to actually show you. If you sing, you are holy, He wants to show you how holy He is. If you say, Lord, you are good, He wants to show you how good He is. Come on, if you say, Lord, you are lovely, He wants to show you how lovely He is. This is why we sing songs of worship. We worship Him. We tell Him, in actual fact, worship, we just tell Him His nature. This is what you do. You say to the Lord, this is your nature. You are holy. You are marvelous. You are wonderful. You are perfect. Amen? I'm teaching you quickly how to pray effectively. You approach your Father's throne with boldness, knowing who you are. You're not an outcast. You have been born again, blood-washed, spirit-filled. Come on, who's spirit-filled? Oh, there we go. There we go. And then He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, here's a mind switch. This is a mindset change. Because what Jesus is saying here, when you pray, pray like it is in heaven, so it shall be on earth. Yes. Amen? Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. What do I do here every single meeting? I wait for Him to come. As it is in heaven. Now you get the revelation. Amen? Because I know in heaven there's no lack. So what's my job? I need to pull down from heaven. And I need to step into that place where there's no lack, where there's no difficulty. This is when you enter the rest of God. Amen? Where it's the flesh works. But when it comes to the spirit things, there's no work. You enter the rest. This is what true worship is. Let me explain to you. You start to praise. And you work. And you go into worship. And now, what happens? You enter His rest and He ministers you. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know how the Lord loves for people just to enter into His presence, not even asking? He wants you to ask, but just hear me. He loves you just sitting at His feet. There's many times the Lord is my witness. And I say, Lord, I don't have words tonight. If tears is good enough, take it. There's many times that I just sit and I say, Lord, I need You to minister me now. I've seen more results when God moves in an instant than what I've seen trying to force something. He loves you. You don't have to pretend before the Father. That's one of the marvelous things. You never have to pretend before Him. This is why I love Him so much. He knows this in here. This, if you cut it, it bleeds. Amen. He knows your fears. He knows your desires. He knows all things. I never have to go before the Father and pretend, because He knows my heart. I don't have to go before Him and try to use all these great, marvelous words. That's not what's going to get me home. Come on, that's not what's going to get the results. He's looking for this thing, to be pure before Him. Just to step into His throne and say, Lord, You know me. You know my weaknesses. And Lord, You know my strength. And I'm just here. Just minister me. This is why I love the Lord. Every single day I tell Him, I said, Lord, you know, I'm quite strange. And let me tell you something. There's so many times, who knows what I'm talking about, when you feel like just hiding away from the world. The demand is so much on you that you feel like just hiding away. Quickly look here. The other day I was here in just after the morning service, and I saw this big hole. This is actually where your bass speaker goes. And I said, Lord, that's the perfect place. So I climbed in there. I felt like David walking into the cave of Adullam, hiding away, and I was just laying on my back, and I said, Lord, here I'm safe. This is just you and me. There's no people, there's nothing. It's just you and me. I can just be myself. I can just lay here, Lord, in your presence, just basking in your glorious presence. And when they said it's almost time for church, I said, Lord, I don't want to come out of here. I don't want you. Put me in a corner. Come on, an naughty corner. Put me in a naughty corner. That's fine. I just want to be with Him. I just want to be with Him. I've been ministering for 15 years of my life. And every day, every single day when I wake up, there's a greater desire to be with Him. Who understands what I'm saying? There's such a desire in your heart that the things of the world, it doesn't move you no longer, because there's a bigger desire. There's a desire stepping into His presence, because that's where you are safe. Amen? Come on. That's where you are secure. Just being in the presence of God Almighty. People don't understand you, but He does. He does. He understands you. I'm trying to get something across to people. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, this is my job, to make Him real. Amen. And when you get to know Him, everything in your life changes. Everything. So if you say, I'm one of them, I took a hookie, but I didn't think I'm that great. It's just because you desire to be with Him. Can I tell you something? This is my personal opinion. It's not biblical. This is my personal opinion. But I believe that the longer you serve the Lord in spirit and in truth, with no hidden agendas, sold out, you love the King of Glory. Every day when you wake up, there's a greater desire to go home and be with Him. This is why I know why Smith Wigglesworth said, Lord, I'm ready, take me. Amen? Because every morning there's a hunger. I don't know about you. I love people. I love you. Do you hear me? I love you. Come on, tell somebody He loves me. Come on, I love you, all right? But I love Him much more. And my job is, I want to show you what I love. It's not just something that I say. Why do you think the presence of the Lord comes here? Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. Just because I said it? No, because I love it. I love it. I have got a pact with the Lord. I love the small meetings. You know why? It's just personal. But I've got a pact with the Lord. I said, Lord, if you don't go, I'm not going. So do you know what? I'm here. That means He's here.
Amen.
This is why I will not preach. This is why George is sitting there. This is why we got this worship team. This is why we continue to do what we do. Because we are drawing from Him. I don't care what message I preach. I don't care what I do. I can preach on the Lord is my shepherd. I can preach on anything. His presence will come. Do you hear what I'm telling you tonight? If you make room for Him, He'll come. So let's get back to the Lord is my shepherd. I'm just checking it. He says, give us this day our daily bread. So when you understand that God, as it is in heaven now, on earth, then you can step in and say, Lord, give me my daily bread, because I know in heaven there's no lack of bread. In actual fact, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you have tasted the bread of life, you've got no need for bread. Because you know the bread of life, and then you know there will always be bread. People want bread and they leave the bread of life one side. But when you start to know the bread of life, the source of life, your desires changes. Most people come and say, Lord, I need bread. Spiritual people know I need the bread of life. Because I can have bread today, and tomorrow I need to worry again about bread. But when I have the bread of life, am I getting something across? He will supply the bread. So give us this day our daily bread. This means this is a place where you can ask the Lord what you need. And in actual fact, I want to rephrase this. The Lord knows what you need. The Bible says even before you ask, God knows what you need. But He says, give me the desires of your heart. God is not tonight interested in your need. I'm here to tell you, He wants the desires of your heart. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. Who knows that if you've got a child, you want to do anything for them to help them. And When you have a kid, it's no longer just you. You have to think about them. How much more your Heavenly Father? I don't care how bad it is, He'll never fail you. I don't care how bad the storm is, He'll never leave you. I'm not just talking a talk here. I know this man. I know this man personally. And I don't boast in this, but I gave my life to Him completely. Amen. Even tonight in worship, I was standing here on the stage. I said, Lord, I promise You, I make a vow again. Take my life. Just use me for Your glory. I know this man that I'm talking about. I know this Jesus that said, whatever you ask, My Father, in My name, it shall be given. I know Him personally. And this is why I want to tell you, it's so important to allow His presence. I don't care about time. In actual fact, I don't want any watches in this place. I think I'm going to put a board out there and say, no watches. So if we can just allow Him, just to wait on Him, it's so worth it. I can't be long because His presence is here. He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Repentance should always be part of prayer. Lord, forgive me. Why do you need forgiveness? Well, Lord, today I was angry. I know Your word says, be angry and sin not, but Lord, I've sinned. You repent that before Him. And that's what God loves. This is why David was called the man of the God's own heart, because he knew how to repent. He knew how to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. If you can't say you're sorry, if you can't repent, it means you're stubborn. Stubbornness is the same iniquity as idolatry. Hello. And then he says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory. The kingdom is the government of heaven. The power is the ability of that government. And the glory is the atmosphere of heaven. This is what we pray tonight, that atmosphere of heaven will fill this place. I pray in the name of Jesus, that beautiful name which is above every other name. There's no name greater, no name higher, no more, no greater name, no name purer than the name of Jesus. I pray that you will love the presence of Jesus more than you love life itself. That you become a person, and in actual fact, ask the Holy Spirit that when you go home on a Monday and a Tuesday, that you desire to get back into the presence of the Lord. That you miss this place. You don't just need it here. You can get it at your home as well. But you hear me. Come on, you hear me. I love it when people come together in corporate anointing and suddenly the presence of the Lord just takes over. I love it when I stand one side and the Lord just moves in. So many times in my life, I've tried things. Do you know how many times I fall apart when I get to the front and I plan, this is what I'm going to do. And then I understand it's not up to me. There's one great, if I just allow His presence to come, that's what I need to rely on His presence. It's all about Him. Lift your hands and say, Lord, it's all about You. And you know, this must become revelation to you. Revelation knowledge to you. You can pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and until you're blue in the face, until you've got revelation that He's a good Father that cares about you, that wants you to commune with Him and sit in His presence. He wants to give. Come on, He wants to pour out Himself on you. Do you know how many times in prayer the Lord reveals His heart to you? Many people don't even understand this, that Jesus is weeping many times about His people. And when you go into prayer, so prayer is a two-way street. It's like if I call you and I'm listening to you speaking to me, and now you're listening to me speaking to you. It's the same with the Lord. Don't just babble. Speak and wait. And listen and obey. Speak and wait. Listen and obey. Come on, speak and wait. Listen and obey. There's a big difference between listening and obeying. Many people lay here, but they don't obey God. Can we tonight, for the next 5 minutes, draw the presence from heaven into this place? Amen? Remember the beginning of the year that I said, I'm going to drive you crazy about Jesus? Who remembers that? All right? Well, I'm going to add to that. I'm going to make you drink from that presence until you vomit. Then that's the key. Lift your hands across this place. Father, I thank you tonight that you are a good Father. I can't even imagine. I can't even put it in words what heaven will be like being with you 24 hours a day. Lord Jesus, you say in the book of Revelation that I've got this against you, that you've left your first love. Tonight, we don't want to leave our first love. We want to run back to you. Because Lord, we have come to this place in our life where we understand that having services without your presence is just another get-together club. That's not what changes me, but to be exposed to that beautiful, glorious presence of Jesus. That changes our heart, that destroys the yoke, it removes the shackles, it opens the prison doors, it changes a man's thinking. The more we spend time with you, the more we want to be with you. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, you said it. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing that you receive it, it shall be done. I pray in Jesus' name that people will feel what I feel tonight. That your presence will become so real to each one. In the name of Jesus. That they will not boast in self, but they will look to you, Lord, and boast in your presence. Come, I want to ask you just to stand to your feet right now. I want you to lift those hands and close your eyes. We owe it to him tonight. To lay aside all the things that's taking us away from his presence. There's people here tonight that needs to hear me again. It's time that you enter boldly in the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Step in with boldness. There's people here tonight that every single time you pray, in deep in prayer, and suddenly you stop and you turn around. You turn around just before your breakthrough. Don't stop tonight. Don't stop worshiping and just press in. Just press in and suddenly, you'll stand in awe of him. Suddenly, his tears. After the tears, suddenly you're in the next dimension of the Spirit. Suddenly you feel a boldness coming over you. Suddenly you understand that whatever I ask right now, it shall be done. A realm of the Spirit. We love the Spirit. We love the works of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit tonight, thank you. Thank you that you are here. Come on, lift those hands and look to him. You can leave this place and forget about me, but don't forget about him. His presence is so marvelous. So glorious. When that presence comes, that's where healing happens. That's where miracles take place. To that dimension, we don't need people to lay hands on you. He lays his hands on you. So I want to ask you quickly, open your heart to him. Where you're standing, say to the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, I'm not here for any man. I'm not here for any person. I'm here to visit with you. I will say to the Holy Spirit tonight, I make room for you. Spirit of God, thank you that we will always make time for you. In this church, you're always welcome. In this life, you are always welcome. You're my best friend, Lord. You're my best friend. I thank you that you are here. We vow to give you the glory. That's it, he's here, saints. The atmosphere just shifted. Come and lift those hands and worship him. Beautiful Jesus. I need to explain this to you. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He makes him real. When Jesus is real, you know he's here. You know the Holy Spirit is here. If Jesus is real to you. Come on, whatever I have to be closed. Thank Can I ask you just to pray? You don't even have to pray in the spirit. You can pray in your own language. Give him your desires tonight. Come before his throne. Maybe you're just here to say, Lord, I don't want anything. I want you. I want you, Lord. I want you to be real. I want you. I want you. You're the king of my heart and you're the king of my life. We worship you. The word says the fervent, effective prayer of the righteous avails much. We'll pray effectively. We'll worship effectively. I want to say this to you.